Now I'm standing here, yeah, I found my light. Turn my pain into purpose. Now I shine so bright. All the scars that I carry made me who.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode on the Luke Mindpower Podcast. This is motivation, inspiration. This is yours truly, Luke Mindpower. And I was actually doing a podcast. Who was I doing a podcast with? Oh, yes, Dr. Espen. It's going to be released very, very soon. He is a really amazing interviewer, someone who does live events as well. And he's all about the mind, neuroscience, and helping people unlock more potential. But I remember doing the episode. Before I tell you about the episode, let me just quickly share with you what this episode is going to be about, this podcast episode. It is about where low self-worth actually comes from. So if you're someone who has struggled with low self-worth, this podcast episode is for you, okay? So for example, how do you know if you're struggling with low self-worth? You got a lot of self-doubt. You have a really negative mindset about yourself. You know that no matter what you do in life, how you show up, it's never good enough. Have you ever experienced that? It's never good enough. Okay. Anyway, just going back, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But just going back to what I was talking about with Dr. Espen, and he was asking me, how do you want me to call you? Like, what's your last name? And he said, oh, is it Cheblovich? Like, what is it, you know? And I was like, you don't have to call me my last name. I'm not avoiding it, guys. Like, my name is Luke, and how you pronounce my surname is Chlebowicz. Chlebowicz, when I was at school, that's how we said it in English. I mean, in Polish, it's Chlebowicz. CH is like a H, a silent C. And then the W is a V. In Polish, the W is a sound of a V. And then the CZ at the end is a CH. So if you want to know how to pronounce my surname, it's Chlebowicz. CH. Rozumiesz? Okay. Super. All right, so that's how you say my surname. But Dr. Espen was asking me, like, how do I say it, you know? And I was like, I don't want you to say it. That's not who I am. I'm not defined by my surname, and that's not how I brand myself, nor do I get introduced as Luke Chlebowicz. I get introduced as Luke Mindpower. That's just me. That's my vibe. That's who I am. And, you know, when I'm doing a podcast, that's how I get introduced, you know? So, mind you, being young, where did low self-worth come from? Well, I also remember being bullied for my surname, you know, and I don't know, maybe my sister did the right thing, you know, and whether she's listening or not, you know, she's like, hey, don't tell everyone. I'm like, well, she changed her surname, you know, because of maybe what we went through. Like, she changed her surname for her kids, which was a different surname, because of the possibility that maybe she's going to get bullied. That was one story, I'm sure. That, you know, so she changed it so that her kids, when she was going to school, wouldn't get bullied because of their name. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? The question is, where does low self-worth come from? And the question is, do we save our children from being bullied? It's not a nice experience. That's just one instance. I would get bullied for my surname, which... how could you get bullied for Chlebowicz? Well, because if you look at it really, clever bitch. And back then as a child, if you, oh, you're a clever bitch, you know. And when you're a young 5-year-old or 6-year-old or 7-year-old or 8-year-old or 9-year-old, you know, I wasn't raised or taught how to defend myself, how to stand up for myself. You know, that just wasn't something that I learned or was parented with at home. You know, my dad was a taxi driver. He was working from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. every single day. You know, my mom also worked at a disabled school. She was helping the disabled kids. She was a teacher's aide. So when we went to school, and it was pretty amazing, actually, because my parents, like my mom, her school that she worked at was literally like a walk from where we lived in Lakemba in Sydney, Australia. Lakemba used to be known, and probably still is, very Middle Eastern. You know, there was a lot of Lebanese. You know, we had the mosque on our street as well. And my mum would drop up. Like, I mean, we all walked to school anyway. Like, our schools were around the corner. So we would all go to school. And then my mum would go to work, and her work was like literally down the road. So she would go to her, No, she worked somewhere else. That there was two schools maybe. But anyway, so she worked at a disabled school. So she would be working there for 6 hours. And then while we're at school, we'd be at school, you know. So you know, our parents were both of them were working, you know, and the kids were going to school. And, you know, my parents did the best. I really, as much as like we can look for faults, like there's a post I did in, again, what are we doing? We're debunking, like, where does low self-worth come from? So is the question like, save your children so they don't get bullied, like protect them, you know? Change their last name, like do everything that you can so that they don't get bullied, you know, and stop it. And of course, like there's a part of it that I'm very passionate about because I know what happened to one of my close family members that, you know, unfortunately really struggled with that and, you know, and tried to, you know, do something really, really horrific to himself, you know? And I'll talk about that, you know, in the future more in detail, but it's very difficult, you know, when you have a close family member that has been through something like that and then they don't feel worthy of being here anymore, you know? So it's clearly evident what bullying actually does. And I think about myself, I think about what I went through and I'm like, wow, like damn, I made it through, you know? I mean, how much harder is it right now, you know? Is suicide and not wanting to be here much more severe right now, or was it just as bad back then? Was it still, I mean, you know, I didn't hear about it, but you know, what was mental health like 20 years ago? Was it still happening? Were people not feeling good enough, or is this just the rise of the information age on the internet and social media and technology that we have access to communication and podcasts and talking and expressing ourselves and sharing these stories? Or were these things already happening 20 years ago? Surely there was shit happening 20 years ago. It's not like life was just absolutely perfect. We've still had to struggle. We've still had to persevere. We've still had to go through shit. You know, it was never amazing, you know, and life is a constant challenge and there's always things to learn, right? So be a learner, keep learning. But I think that there's two parts of this journey of, you know, where does low self-worth come from? You know? And, you know, you can say, well, I've got to protect my children. I've got to make sure they don't get bullied. I've got to, like, you know, I remember talking about this and I was just like, oh, you know, when I have my own kids, I'm going to make sure that I raise them completely different to how my parents did and protect them and inspire them and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure there's a part of me and I know that I'm going to be a bit more conscious and, like, you know, yes, I want to empower them and make sure that they know their worth and they're confident in themselves and I want to spend a little bit more time with them than my parents did. And, you know, but at the same time, I also don't want to hide them from the world because otherwise you got no social skills, you know, like imagine growing up and living on a farm, let's just say, but you never leave the farm. Like you raise your children until they're 18, 19 years old, they get homeschooled, right? But they never leave the farm because of the fear of, well, if they go out there into the world, then they're going to get bullied. Something bad's going to happen. Someone might try to kidnap them. You know, they might get into a fight. Someone might steal their things, whatever. Like they might get into a fight. Who knows, right? And that's the risk, you know? It's just like, well, if we let them go out there, then that's what's going to happen, you know? But then if you don't, they're never going to learn. Like they're never going to learn, like to go through life, to deal with situations, to experience things, you know? So I guess it's just being a parent that is able to create a relationship with their children that gives their children the knowledge and the confidence to know that if there's a problem, my mom and my dad are actually a safe space for me to communicate rather than feeling afraid Oh my gosh, no! I'm afraid because it's shameful, whatever the situation is. You know what I mean? Because that's a big. I think that's the big block as well. Is like we don't feel comfortable to communicate to our parents. You know, like I'm not going to talk to mum about that. No, fuck that. Like, no way. I'll not talk about mum. I'll tell my friend, right? Or my sister. You know. So, and again, like, you know, I'm just making suggestions here, and I'm just trying to, like, you know, create possibilities, because I know how I was raised. I never felt safe at home to talk to my mum or dad about personal issues or about emotions or about my feelings or about like what I was going through. Never. Even when I was like working and 24, 25, 26, 27, I didn't give a shit about what my parents were doing. You know, I didn't want to be around them. I was off fucking snorting coke, fucking parties, and I was doing my own thing. I didn't give a shit about, I was going to family events and I'd be there, but I'd still be freaking like getting hammered and getting drunk and shit, you know, because that's what it was. Like it was a celebration. It was a birthday. It was a family function, family event. But there was no like conscious like, oh, my mum and my dad are there. Oh my gosh, like let me sit down with them and have a chat. There was nothing like that. I was lost in my own fucking head, you know? It wasn't until I started the journey of healing and evolving and stepping into like my masculine energy of like rebuilding myself, reprogramming my subconscious mind, becoming a better version of myself, that I started to actually. And it's only been the last couple of years, guys. The first like 5 years of my transformation and spiritual awakening, again, totally against my parents, because I left the faith. I left my Catholic faith. I didn't believe in God. I moved on. I was just like, nah, don't believe in it. Nothing to do with it, whatever. So when I look back at my own experience of how I was parented and the respect or appreciation for my parents, there was none there, because it was like they fucked up. They didn't parent me correctly. They didn't have enough time for me. And so now I'm all messed up and this is who I am, you know? So we're playing the bit of the blame game, you know? And it's just like, yeah, my parents fucked me up. And that's why I'm saying, we went back to one of my videos that I posted. It says 30 seconds, 38 years of therapy in 30 seconds. That's one of my dancing videos. And it says that, you know, there's a video there that says something about, I'm just going to find it. It's on TikTok. It's one of my recent ones I reposted actually, because it was really good. It's me dancing. Here it is. 5 years of therapy. Your parents did their best, but also fucked you up. Your healing is your problem. No one is coming to save you. No magical mentor, no secret billionaire uncle. Not even Batman. It's just you, save yourself. Set boundaries. Just say no. Simple, say no. Don't have to be mean or rude. Just say no. Stop chasing people who treat you like an option. You're not a side quest. Self-care is not a bath and face mask. It's getting 8 hours of sleep and eating something that grew on the ground. You don't find yourself. You build yourself. Say yes if you agree. Okay, so again, let's just read it again. I got excited. I was watching my own video. Your parents did their best, but also fucked you up. Okay, so let's look deeper into that. How did they do their best, but they messed you up? Okay. Now, yeah, that was the mindset. It's their fault, you know? But guess what, guys? Like, honestly, like let's take some responsibility. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what you've been through, like you can be through the most hardest things and you can have the most spiteful relationship with your parents, or even if they're not here anymore and you're just like, nah, screw them. They were a narcissist. You know, like I've heard this many times because I've worked with so many people, got on so many calls with people, and people are like, oh yeah, my mom's a narcissist or my dad's a fucking narcissist, a manipulator or abusive or whatever, you know? But I just want to remind you guys of something. Everything's learned behavior. Everything is learned behavior. Don't become a narcissist. Okay. You're probably raised by a fucking someone who was manipulative. You know what I'm saying? You learn that shit. You become who you surround yourself with. The real transformation comes from putting your hand up and going, no matter what happened, guess what? It's not their fault. It's my responsibility to cut the cord and to transform my life and to evolve out of fear or dysfunction, out of my pain, out of my suffering, out of everything that I endured. And I'm going to be the one that actually changes myself, rather than pointing the finger at like it's my mum's fault. You know, hang on, it's my dad's fault, because my dad was working from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. He was never fucking home. I would come home from school and he was never there to sit with little Luke and tell little Luke that, hey, Luke, you know, you're amazing. You're enough. You know, I just want to remind you, if you get bullied for your physical appearance, because I know you're pretty skinny, that, you know, I just want you to know that you're enough. And so my dad was never there to empower me and to fucking remind me that, hey, little Luke, you know, you're fucking enough just the way you are. So now I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go, that's my dad's fault. It's my dad's fault because he was working, providing for the whole family to put food on the table to fucking pay rent. And I'm going to sit here and blame him that fucking I had a fucked up childhood. Do you get what I'm saying? When in reality, the truth, like, again, like, my parents did the best they could and they did a great example. Like, I look at my parents now and I'm like, fucking congratulations. You crushed it. You know, like, sure, it's not perfect, but guess what? It's not supposed to be. You know, you did the right thing in terms of leading by example. Dad went to work. Mum even worked. You had four kids. You kept to your faith. You went to church every Sunday. You practiced your faith. You showed your children that faith is very important. You know, like, you raised us with values, but yet somehow there were missing links, missing pieces of the puzzle that we didn't get enough time with you. We didn't feel emotional safety. We didn't feel safe to talk about certain things. You were very strict with even my sisters and how you told them what they had to wear and that they had to be modest and all this shit. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, trying to teach your children that modesty is healthy and that it's good to be modest, not to walk around with fucking half naked fucking shit. Like, are you serious? Like, that's the biggest blessing that you can have, a parent that fucking cares about what you look like when you leave the house, right? Am I speaking the truth or what? You know, and here we are going, oh, you know, like, modesty is fucking beautiful, you know? Don't walk around half naked fucking showing off your whole body to the world, you know? So my mum was like that. She was switched on. She wasn't looking at my sisters and going, oh, that's fine. Wear a little mini skirt with a slit up the side and walk out with your fucking, you know, with all of everything fucking visible, you know, like, and she was on it. She was like, don't you dare. You're not walking out of the house like that. I was like, fucking oaf. I'm like, yes, that's a fucking mum. That's a mum that gives a shit about her kids. You know what I mean? So, mate, I look at my parents now and, yeah, when I was 20, 25, 30, 18, like, I couldn't see shit. I didn't understand what they're doing, but they had values and they fucking respected that shit. You know what I mean? So you look at it now and I go, wow, they had standards, even though, well, we didn't have a safe space or place where we felt like we could go to talk to our parents. You know, and so, of course, these are the improvements we can make. These are the things we learn from what we went through, what our parents, how our parents raised us and shit. And we go, okay, well, with my kids, how am I going to change it? You know, so the whole point I'm trying to say, guys, and thanks for sticking with me. And if this is inspiring you, you're listening to this podcast and you're not sharing it, share this message. You don't know who needs to hear this message. Someone needs to hear it. It'll change their life. Okay. Wherever you're listening, on Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, no matter where you're listening, thank you for being here. I believe in you. Like, seriously, I'm not passionate about this just out of nowhere. You know, this is Luke Mindpower. This is what I do. This is who I am. Okay. And I love to be able to speak and share my thoughts and be with you, you know. If you're on TikTok, thank you so much for being here with me. Like, hit that screen and freaking press the like button so more people see it on TikTok. But yeah, man, like, this is crazy, you know what I mean? Like, we're looking at shit and I you know, I see it in my nieces and nephews now. You know, they're growing up, they're 18, 19, 20, 21, and I'm just like, wow, they're doing the same thing, you know? They're less open to listening to guidance from older people, you know? And it's almost like weird because it's like, yeah, but don't you realize that, like, we are older means that we've lived longer, means we have more experience, you know? And it's this part of you at that age of 18, 19, where you just want your freedom, you know? You want to go and explore. You want to do what you want to do, you know? You don't want to listen to your parents. It's like this rebellion comes out. So, but I truly, truly also, and I know that I'm going to learn this with my own kids, but there's a belief, and I don't know, stick with me. Let me know in the comments if you agree. Let me know your thoughts. But I really believe that if you're able, if you're able to build a relationship with your children, that it is possible that they would actually see you as someone that they could come to talk about their life, to talk about like that you could become a safe space, like you could become someone that they lean on when they're going through something challenging or something that's stressing them out or whatever. And I know, like I agree with anyone who says there's a difference between being a friend as a parent versus being an actual mum or dad. You know, like I agree, there's a boundary. It's not like just like, oh, we're bum chums. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm not your mom or I'm not your dad. Like, we're just mates. You know, like, nah, like I like the boundary there. Like, I'm your fucking dad, you know, and you're always going to respect that. But guess what? I've also got your back. You know what I mean? I only want you to fucking win. And like, helping your child to understand that that's exactly the whole goal, you know, is to provide, is to lead by example, you know, because the truth is everything is learnt from actions. You know, I look at my dad, you know, he sold the house where we were living in Lakemba. He bought property 2 hours away. And then because he sold the house, he paid off some mortgage. He had some extra cash and he went and bought a property. And then over the next 7 years, he built the house. Every week from the money he made as a taxi driver, he would drive to the house and he would build the house with plumbers and builders and that. And the only money he used to build the house was just from every week for 7 years. There was no bank loans or mortgages. He didn't want that anymore. He was just like, nah, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting a mortgage. I don't want to be in debt. I'm just going to do it and I'm going to build it. And for 7 years, he drove 2 hours from Sydney every weekend. He was driving up and down, you know? And I look at that as an inspiration. I look at that. That's called leading by example. And he was never home, you know? And you can say, yeah, but you're always never home. And so if you're never home, then you're never there for your kids. But what are you really doing? Well, I'm being an example that in order for me to provide, in order for me to, you know, put food on the table and pay rent, someone's got to fucking hustle, you know? And we almost like rob that from people because we're like, yeah, but you, if you're not home, then you'll never get to see your children. Yeah, but then when you're at home, your children are witnessing that, oh, you know, one of my parents is not home or dad is never home because he's always working. Well, I wonder why the fuck he's working. So you got a fucking bedroom to sleep in. They got food to eat, you know? So I think, again, you know, there's a catch-22. It's just like, yeah, but the parent should be home to take care of the kid and to look after the kid. Yeah, but then who's going to fucking bring in the bills? Who's going to pay the bills? And you know what I'm saying? So I look at it now and I'm just like, there's both. It's a win-win, you know? I'm not looking at my dad going, hey, dad, like you screwed me up, because I wouldn't have become Luke Mindpower had he been home and had he motivated me or reminded me that I was just enough just the way that I was and all this kind of stuff. Like I had to endure my own doubts and fears and all these bullying experiences that I went through, being judged for my physical appearance. You know, I'm too skinny, I'm a rake, I'm too lanky, you know, and program myself that, wow, I'm different and I've got a problem and there's something wrong with me and people are judging me and I'm just never enough. I'm never enough. No matter what I do, no matter what I wear, no matter how I show up, I'm never enough because the world keeps telling me that I'm too skinny. You know, and I hope that you can relate to this, whatever your life story is, that there's just something that was always telling you that I'm not enough. It's like the world will program you if you let it. And it did. I let it all my life until I was 33. So if you think about the amount of times that I was living in my head, I was talking to Dr. Espen about this and I said, man, most of us are living in a mental prison. And he said, what's that? What's a mental prison? I'm like, well, Tony Robbins says, when you stay in your head, you're dead. And what it means is that when you stay in your head and you don't take action and you don't move forward, well, then you're just going to keep doubting yourself, you know? But the truth is the mental prison is your self-doubt. The mental prison, right, is you being locked in your own head and you can't escape because it's all negative. It's all fear. It's all doubt. It's all overthinking, rumination. Oh, man. Like, I despise that. Like, it's absolutely disgusting, you know? So now, because of my awareness of overthinking and how my mind works, rumination. You know that a lot of your challenging moments when you were younger, you're the one that created the self-doubt. I just needed you to let that sink in. The challenges that you went through when you were a child, the younger experiences that were really hard, or maybe they were bullying, after those experiences, you're the one that has created the self-doubt and the feeling of I'm not enough and the insecurity. And you could be thinking, why is it my fault? Well, because that's how your brain works. After the experience of feeling triggered or attacked or judged, and then at the same time, when you don't have a level of self-confidence and self-worth, and when really do you have it at year 3, year 4, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old? Are you really, really sure of yourself? Are you really confident? You know, and then you start getting bullied. And what happens from those negative experiences when you've got four people at the same time going, you're a fucking idiot. You're an idiot. You look like this. And why do you look like that? And what's wrong with you? Right. And at that time, what happens mentally, your brain is still developing. And what happens now? You start overthinking. Your brain starts ruminating. And slowly, 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 you're 10, 11, 12. And those thoughts continue. And what happens? Neuroplasticity. What's neuroplasticity? Programming of your mind. Your neural pathways are created, right? Or your brain is being developed. And as your brain's being developed, it's being developed with overthinking and doubting yourself all the time and thinking shit about yourself and all this negative crap. Okay. So why am I so aware of my mind and how the mind actually works? Because I suffered with this for years. I was overthinking all the time. I was doubting myself all the time. You know, all I was doing was living in my head that I wasn't good enough, that my body wasn't good enough, that I would always look at myself and think like, oh my gosh, like, why is my ass flat? Why am I so skinny? Like, how come I can't put on weight? What's wrong with me? I'm different. Okay. So your mental prison is something that, as I learned myself, and I'm still doing it because I started this journey 33, I'm 41, turning 42 in September, and I've reprogrammed my subconscious mind. And I still program it because I'm moving forward now. I'm not living in the past. You know, I processed my emotional trauma, my fears, my doubts, my insecurities, and everything that I went through as a child. Now I'm free. Now I live in the present moment. Now I focus on my goals and my dreams. And that's how I program myself now, because I ain't looking back. I'm looking forward, you know, and every single day I take action to program my mind so that I can manifest. Because the truth is, why I wasn't manifesting my dream life, my dream partner, everything I wanted back then, was because I was living in the past and I was living in doubt. Doubt. What was I doing? Drinking, coke, fucking gambling. I was in debt, thinking, doubting. What do you think that's going to raise your vibration, going to make you believe in yourself, going to have a fucking amazing life when you're always thinking in the past and thinking doubtful thoughts? No. That's why healing the past is so important. But this is where your low self-worth comes from, guys. I hope that just from me sharing with you these information, that this has awoken you somehow, maybe just a little bit. And if it has, if you've enjoyed this episode on the Luke Mind Power podcast, maybe you're watching for the first time. Remember, there's over 440 episodes available, and you can go on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts and type in Luke Mind Power podcast, and you can have free coaching in your pocket. Okay. This is available for you. I started the podcast in 2019. Go and listen and inspire the shit out of yourself. Wake yourself up to your greatness, because this is a little bit of what I talk about, and obviously so much more. Okay. So I want to thank you for joining me on this episode, and please share this with your friends. And remember that I have music as well that you can tune into, Luke Mind Power Music. If you're watching on TikTok, you can click the link in my bio and you'll find the link there. If you're watching on YouTube, just go in the description. You'll find Luke Mind Power Music there. Any social media platform that you're listening to, you'll find Luke Mind Power Music in the link. But you can also search Luke Mindpower on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Deezer, iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen to music, you will find Luke Mindpower music. And what is the music about? It's me taking all my motivation and putting it into music so that you can inspire yourself and actually listen to something that is positive and inspiring and empowering. But what's the real secret with the music? Guess what? It sounds good, and it's also programming your mind for success. And remember, you become what you think about. So whatever you listen to is what's being programmed in your mind, and that is actually then what is manifested in your reality. How extraordinary is that? How powerful are our minds? What a blessing. It's a blessing to be alive, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here with me. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you on the next episode of the Luke Mind Power Podcast. Peace, love, and freedom.
Now I'm standing here, yeah, I found my light. Turn my pain into purpose. Now I shine so bright. All the scars that I carry made me who I